Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 17th. Joining us this morning is Eureka City School Superintendent, Mr. Van Fleck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How's life treating you so far?
Life is good. Life is good. Enjoyed a nice warm weekend last weekend, and it's just not looking quite as good right now. But
too bad.
Sure was nice last weekend.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Why do they say that? How did an office assistant get the name clerk?
Boy, I do not know the answer to that one at all.
This actually kind of...
I should know, because we have a clerk on the board as well.
There's a connection on it. It almost flows. At one time, only the clergy knew how to read or write. And so any person with this ability was assumed to be a cleric.
Ah, and it got shortened.
From this, the words clerical and cleric soon shortened to clerk. And they came to mean written work or one who performed such work.
Very interesting.
Aha.
Did not know that.
That one kind of makes sense.
It does.
I mean, as soon as I saw cleric, it was like click.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
That one makes sense. Speaking of making sense, getting rid of Jacobs. Is it making sense still?
Yeah.
Is there progress going on there? It seems as if someone is paying attention. For those that are unfamiliar or new to the community, through the 80s at some point, there were three junior high schools in Eureka.
Jacobs. Early 80s. I think 82 or 83 was the last time it was a junior high school.
Okay, so just after I got back from school, Jacobs, Winship, and Zane. And with some of the challenges with employment in the area, basically the lumber mill shutting down, so too did a lot of the working folks, and there was not a need for a third junior high. So Jacobs went through a couple different permutations, the adult school at one period of time, and so Barnum at one period of time, and then it started pushing up daisies.
Right.
And that's kind of what it's been like for the last
10 years.
Decades?
Yep. Decade. I think 2008, 2009, somewhere around there, was when it was last used to actually house children.
As something,
yes. Yeah. That's correct.
So in that interim, it kind of looks like the pampas grass or pampas grass?
Wiregrass.
Express.
I know, cut grass, you know, the stuff with the fluffy stuff coming out of it.
Yeah, and all kinds of other things, you know, spray paint, break-ins, cyclone fences. Basically, right. It was kind of like the triple ugly stepsister shunted off and kind of forgotten about is what it looked like, unless you happen to travel in the neighborhood, and then it was right there, front and center,
right,
on a daily basis.
Yep, or the neighborhood that surrounds it immediately right there that look out their front window to it every day.
Right, and it also abuts up against one of the more populated elementary schools.
It does, so Alice Burney Elementary School.
It's just right there, but in the last 2 months ago we talked, it seemed like there was a little bit of possible inertia. There had been a little bit earlier on, but those were more pipe dreams. Now, is there still things in the hopper for Jacobs?
There are. In fact, we've actually done some work out there. This summer, we did abatement work, and the one full classroom wing, the one portable building that was there, and all of the breezeways, the hazardous waste has been taken out of them. The hazardous waste is just like any other building that was built in the 60s, lead paint and asbestos. And so those things were taken out of those buildings. The portable building is now gone. The breezeways are now demolished and gone. That one classroom wing still stands. So it's a step in the right direction.
The overhangs are gone?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, the overhangs, you know, the old things we used
regular
to...
guy here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So a lot of that stuff is not there, but my understanding was it was the wood shop was kind of where the really nasty uglies were?
Actually, that portable building was where they
were. Oh, it was a portable?
Yeah, because they were tunneling underneath of that thing and breaking up through the subfloor of it and getting inside of it, and we were just having a heck of a time stopping folks from getting inside there. They have broken in. Just about every other building out there has been broken into at one time or another, though. So it's not just that building. All the buildings are alarmed. We continue to keep them alarmed. But what we're actually preparing to do right now is to put a bid on the street to just know what the price is to abate and demolish the entire campus and just have it as a blank slate at that time. The only thing that that's non-negotiable for us that we're keeping are the soccer fields. They're going to stay with the Alice Burney campus.
So ideally, you knock down all the structures and you mow the lawns.
Correct. So we're starting those conversations. We're starting to put together a bid packet so we have a real price to see if we can actually afford to do the abatement and demolition of the entire campus.
How much does it take to, say, knock down the buildings, get rid of all the stuff here, make it clean, and throw grass seed? I mean,
it wouldn't
seem that complicated.
Like a lot. It's not complicated, but it sure is expensive. Anytime you involve air quality, because hazardous waste, and then anytime you involve a government agency because of prevailing wage, it gets expensive very quickly.
The expense would be there, but the requirements of what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah, it's relatively simple. So let's say, let's just make up a number, which it obviously isn't going to be. Let's say it costs $1,000 to do it. Once we say, okay, go, and pay the $1,000 to do it, start to finish is not going to be a tremendous amount of time. Probably less than 6 months from the start date, and I would say it would even be shorter than that, depending on how big of a crew whoever wins a bid brings on.
I wonder if the city of Eureka, since they seem to be so excited about parks, would consider that as a park also, or portion of it, because there's really nothing.
Well, there's one park over there.
Yeah,
just
Highland.
Down the hill towards, yeah, down the hill towards, yeah, but that's, Broadway.
Yeah. I'm thinking more fields.
Right.
Than, you know, the structure that they have, the tennis courts and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Highland. I know you guys didn't spend a lot of time over in Eureka. Fine.
Yes.
But are there people interested in this place once it's clean?
There are people interested in it. There's some government agencies that are interested in it. We've actually started the conversation with them. We haven't started talking price, but we have started talking the terms and is this a piece of ground that's of interest, and it is.
So once it is cleared.
Yes.
The
board will be faced with a choice. Keep it or sell it.
It's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the concept of the Jacobs facility being, or the footprint, I guess, would be more accurate, changed. There's a number of us who now believe that the biggest issue Eureka has got after crime/drugs, is housing.
I'm with you.
So looking at that footprint, that's a fairly good chunk. There's infrastructure already to it, whether or not it could be tapped into or not, without major. The parking lots, there's a lot of space that would be available either for communal parking if you were going to be doing an apartment or high density kind of construction. Is the private sector looking or talking or even making overtures? Because I would think you could put in 15 or 20 smaller, but still single family, maybe entry level homes in that area. And that certainly would change the dynamics positively for the neighborhood.
Well, the size of the lot is just over 14 acres. The soccer fields are about 4, so that leaves just between 9 and 10 acres left of usable ground that is up for conversation. And so several years ago when I first came to the district, when I don't know if you remember Bill Panos, who was the city
haven't lost him yet.
City manager. For about 6 months. That was when the city was going through a rendition of the master plan. And at that point, we talked about changing the zoning of that campus. Right now, it's zoned as public. And actually, there is parcels on it, and it's subdivided into parcels already, but it's just all zoned public. And so we had a private entity who was interested in putting high-density residential housing in there. And so we started going through the process of changing the zoning, so, because that was one of the requirements to make it happen, was it had to be zoned correctly in order for this organization to buy it. And it just hit a brick wall because the community was just not interested, the immediate neighborhood there, in having that type of housing there. They would have rather of it stayed the way it was than have the housing and go in for that long-term plan and figuring out something else to go there. And so that's what
high density is certainly different than single family.
It is
dwellings.
Yes.
I'd be stunned if there would be any negative kickback on that.
At the end of the day, for us, we're not real estate developers. We're not interested in developing that land. We're not interested in any of that. We're potentially interested in selling off that approximately 10 acres that is there. And if somebody is interested in that, they can. But it's interesting how that process works.
So would you have to change the zoning prior to the sale, or is that just part of the escrow?
That was part of the deal with this one outfit that was looking in to come do that. That's what they wanted. So we said we'd work through that, and because we didn't realize there was going to be a bunch of resistance there. And then we just finally said, we're not in the property development business, so we just backed off and let it go. Exactly.
Yeah.
We've got enough challenges on figuring out how to appropriately educate students without having to deal with how to appropriately subdivide property. But anyways, where it would go now is the property's already been declared a surplus. So if we were to look at how this could happen, it was declared a surplus even before I came to Eureka 7 years ago. So it's been declared surplus for about nine years now, I think. And so what would have to happen is we have to determine a fair market value through an appraisal process. Once a fair market value is determined, then it has to be offered to public agencies and charter schools. And if no public agency...
Because that's where it came from?
That's just the law. That's what it says in the code.
The education code.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so once we offer to them, if they pay fair market value, it's done. It's sold. If nobody's interested in it at that fair market value, then it gets offered to nonprofits. And if a nonprofit picks it up, it's done. Then after that, it gets offered out to the private sector.
So the nonprofit could be like the fire guys.
No,
wrong spot, but a fire station.
No, fire station is actually public.
So they would be in an earlier position.
Yes. So a nonprofit would be like we have a Eureka. Obviously, they're not going to buy it, but there's an example of a nonprofit: Eureka City Schools Foundation or a PTA organization. Those are nonprofits. 4-H. Different things like that are all the Betty Chin Center, nonprofit organization. None of those people I talked to or anything.
They have
like
a higher first. They're earlier in the line.
Correct.
First, second, third position.
Yep.
Instead of.
Yep. Right. They are before it would be offered out to the public at that fair market value.
I would think that, regardless of who, that there would be interest, just because there's not that kind of property available in the city limits for Eureka.
There is no 10-acre parcel that's out of the tsunami zone other than this piece of property that's non-developed in the city of Eureka. This is it.
So how do you determine then fair market value? Appraisals or what the market will bear?
Well, supposedly an appraisal is supposed to tell you what the market will bear, but we have to put our reliance in a certified appraiser.
Because there's certainly no comparables.
Right.
So
right.
Now you register or measure it up against ag land?
We have some appraisals that actually date back to when I first came on. We were trying to get a picture of what it was worth. And it's amazing the difference between what the appraised value was with the buildings and the appraised value without the buildings.
How much better is it without?
Almost a million.
$1 million difference.
Right. There's a tremendous liability that sits in those buildings sitting on the property. They are not any value at all. In fact, they're a liability.
So what is it that you're starting to do now? You're putting out the inquiry to find out how much it would cost to clean the place up. Is there anything you can do prior to that just to run the lawnmowers kind of thing?
Yeah, we actually, I think people know that some of the transient population has really adopted that location because it's convenient. Every time we fix a fence, they cut the fence and they get into center campus, and there's lots of little nooks and crannies they can hide in when law enforcement drives by and shines their spotlights in where they can't be seen. And they just like to be left alone out there. So we do have some alternatives.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, by Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Fred, before the break, you said that there's plenty of alternatives, options with the facility. We kind of walked through some of those. But I would think if it's an eyesore, that it's an eyesore. Nobody wants that. You know, if you happen to be the board rep from that district, you don't want that. If you're on the board, you don't want that. If your kids are going to Alice Bernie, you don't want that.
If you're the superintendent, you don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Nobody likes it as it is. So can you nibble on the edges a little bit?
Well, that's what we've been doing. We've been nibbling on the edges with taking down the buildings one at a time with the abatement of the hazardous materials. And we had a contractor who showed some interest, a local contractor who thinks he can get it done for a reasonable amount. And that's what sparked us to put it out to bid. And until we actually have a bid and says that it is X number of dollars to abate and demolish this campus, we don't have a real price. And so we're hopeful that he can come in at a reasonable price. And we can get the whole thing all done at once.
Do you have contingency set aside for that?
No, we don't.
Do you have dollars can you use any monies, or are you going to have to try to then find the money?
We would have to find the money to do it, because basically our options are we can take it out of our general fund, which is money that goes for education every year. And this is why the school has continued to stand, is because you take it out of the general fund, we're taking it out of the classroom. And if you take it out of the classroom, you're taking it away from kids directly. And so that's a very difficult pill for the board to swallow and for administration to recommend.
Well, let me reset it then. Okay, let's say it takes $1 million to knock you down. Or $1, I mean, it doesn't matter, right? It's mm-hmm. all foo-foo money.
Right.
Okay, $1 to knock it down. But if you can sell it for $1 plus $1, and it's all within the same budget year, or maybe it overlaps by 1 year. Okay, you're ahead $1.
That's easy.
Yeah. Is the time projected for this thing so elongated that you'd be taken from kids today and
not kids at all.
In two generations would be the beneficiaries?
Here's the big question that goes along with that. It's not, will we be able to recoup the dollars it takes to demolish it? Absolutely, we will. The big question is, should the district maintain the ownership of that property? And so that's the big question that the board is going to have to answer in the next month or so.
That's totally different from building yes, no, structure yes, no, whatever. I mean, I would think as long as that thing sits there, not only is there the cleanup cost, but you've got this liability there that, give it another 5 or 10 years, and now the dry rot's in along with the asbestos, and now it comes down and kills somebody
mm-hmm.
who's there illegally, but comes right down and kills somebody. Now you want to talk about risk and exposure?
So that's the reason that we started the one building at a time component is, and we'll probably continue down the one building unless this bid comes to fruition and it's real and it's affordable. But we'll probably, if the district, the board, chooses to keep the property, we'll probably continue at the one building at a time. Because the one thing that's difficult is predicting what our population is going to do. Will we need that property in 10 years? Almost 0% chance. Will we need that property in 25 years? Whew, I don't know. You got me. It just depends on what
industry. Yeah, but if you're holding on to assets or generating costs for something that might happen that far down the road, it could all be virtual learning. By then, you won't need any campus.
I mean, could be.
You just who knows? So, I mean, to hold on to it, I would think if you need something, that let the current marketplace, maybe it's an expansion of Alice Burney.
But think about this. Think about this. I just said that is the one open piece of land within the city limits of Eureka. If we need another school, because basically if we grow much at all, ever, another school is needed. Elementary school wouldn't work well there because it's right next to another elementary school. But my point being, all those elementary schools are sold. They're gone. Jefferson is gone. Worthington is gone. Marshall has been converted.
Franklin is being repurposed.
Yes, Franklin has been repurposed. And so those options aren't there anymore for the district to go if the population ever returns up here. And so it's just, I don't want to be the guy, and the board doesn't want to be the board that made the decision that limits that in the future. And they may be. They may be. They, at the end of the day, they may say, nope, we're going to sell the property. I think it's a 50-50 shot on whether they sell the property or whether they keep it. Because the money that comes in from that property is, when we have our annual budget, it's about $50 million. The value of that property is not going to have a large fiscal impact on the district. And the impact that it does have will be one time.
Right. Yeah.
It's just not easy.
No, I mean, I'm trying to think of reasons to hold it that would respond to me.
Yeah.
Projecting that far down the road.
That's the only reason there is.
We're talking great grandkids for you and me.
Yep. Oh, I won't be there. I mean, obviously.
That's not our decision one way or the other at that point anyway.
Right.
So why would we encumber? And I see the responsibility to the neighborhood as outstripping that. Unless we really had a great argument. I mean, you could go vertical with a campus. I mean, the campus experience could be so radically different then that you can't forecast that.
I think the neighborhood would be ecstatic with a blank piece of property right there. Yeah, at least we had a last Saturday, we had at the Jefferson, we had a community meeting. And some of these things were the things that were talked about. They're very interested in a community garden out there and, you know, some different things like that that are short-term uses of the property.
But now with the public camping that the governor allowed in the state, it could become a huge homeless camp.
We sure don't want that.
If it's just an empty and it's public mm-hmm. space, you couldn't keep them off.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes it again. So, you're lucky. At least have a one vote in one direction if I was there.
Yes, I don't get to vote.
Yeah, well, okay.
I just get to follow the direction that the board makes for me.
That's right. Follow the leader, baby.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, since we got together last state with the budget, okay, you got a pretty good indication on that. What about the student population within the jurisdiction, the traditional draw for Eureka City Schools? Is that still flat?
No.
Or is it changing as Fortuna continues to grow and McKinleyville continues to have this affordable housing stuff we were just referencing for the Jacobs site?
So our census day, if you want to call it, is the first Wednesday of October of each year. And so that's what we really hang our hat on when we compare year-to-year attendance. And Eureka City Schools had the first decline in attendance in about 6 years, and we declined about 95 students. Over the past 6 years, we've been relatively flat up until this year, and so that's not healthy for the district, obviously. And we're projecting another decline somewhere in the neighborhood of 50, 60 students next year as well. And where our decline is primarily happening is in the elementary levels. Kindergarten has been historic low, and we're continuing to see that as we move forward. And countywide, kinder is down a bit. However, Eureka City Schools is outpacing the county average right now as far as the number of students that we're declining.
So as you look at that, and you've got these additional resources that are sitting there, or non-productive assets.
Yep. Yep.
Going right back to it again.
Yep.
What's the board consensus? Any idea about either things to do or things not to do in association with that enrollment?
Here's the board consensus on enrollment wise,
and how. How
as far
to accommodate
as the property
it.
Goes, or
yeah, either to generate additional revenues or to curtail costs or investments.
So the board consensus is to explore all avenues, and until there's actually an offer on the table at that fair market value, there's no decision for them to be made. Because we've
philosophically though, they still have to say yes or no to the property being sold, right?
That is correct,
and that's supposed to be in a couple months.
Well, what they have said philosophically is, bring us the offer, and we'll consider it at that point.
Ah, oh, situational ethics.
There you go. Well, I don't know what I call it. Situational. You caught me on that one. But situational decision making. There.
I mean, there wouldn't be an offer made. Well, you know, if I don't know that it's a option, why am I going to spend the money to put together something to figure out how much I'm willing to invest on it if I don't know that the property is even available?
Because we've been very forthcoming with the agency that we've been working with, in that depending on the circumstances will dictate whether we're interested in doing it or not. And they understand that. And we've been
so if it's Pabstein, it's a no. If it's a Van Vleck, it's a yes.
I can't afford.
Or is it the other way around?
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah.
if you got a couple million around and you want that Jacobs property, let's see if we can make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't think it works that way, though.
No, I don't think it's going to pan out quite that way this time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, interesting stuff. Alrighty. Well,
I'll tell you what, we'll even throw the buildings in.
What a trooper. And my own parking spot.
Yes, yes.
Jeez, what a guy. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.